This week on Language Lab, we're talking to Amanda Hamilton Holloway, a lecturer in linguistics at the University of Western Australia, a member of UWA's Language Lab, and a researcher at the University of Queensland. Today, we'll be talking about a question many people living in Australia might have had. How does writing work in Australian Indigenous languages, and what are some tips for pronouncing words written in these languages? Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
So to start us off, let's talk about Australian Indigenous languages and writing. Are all Australian languages written?
Yeah, today, essentially, yes, they are. So all Australian languages today use some form of the Latin alphabet for their writing. And the Latin alphabet will be very familiar to listeners because this is the alphabet that English is written in. So this is A, B, and so on. And this alphabet is the most widely used alphabet in the world today. It's used with various modifications for such diverse languages as Spanish, and German, and Indonesian, Polish, Swahili, Welsh, and all Australian Indigenous languages as well. Of course, all of these languages have to use their own modifications on this alphabet in order to make it fit their sound systems, but the bones of it are the same.
And did any Australian Indigenous languages use writing before European colonisation?
So that's a really great question. And in order to answer it, of course, we have to first talk about what writing actually is. Because writing is not the same thing as simple visual communication. So there are plenty of methods of visual communication, for instance, traffic lights or photographs or artwork that do convey messages, but which aren't writing because they don't systematically represent the units of language. So we can define writing as the use of visual signs or tactile signs, if you're writing in Braille, in a systematic way for representing the words and or the sounds of a language. And that last part is especially key because that is the main thing that separates writing from practices like art or pictography. While art can represent concepts, writing represents specific words. It directly represents language. So now that I've defined writing, I can answer the question, which is no. No Australian language that we know of used writing in the days before European colonization. The speakers of these languages did, however, use other types of visual communication before this time. For instance, you may have heard of message sticks, which were small sticks carved with lines and patterns that one group would send via a messenger to another group, or you've probably seen paintings and sand drawings, which have also been used in Australian Indigenous communities for many thousands of years. And all of these are visual systems that are highly communicative, but because they don't directly represent words or parts of words, they're not writing. So in sum, all Australian languages today are or can be written. None of them were written historically, but other systems of visual communication were, and in fact still are, robustly used in these communities.
So you said that Australian Indigenous languages use the Latin alphabet now, same as, you know, English and a lot of other languages. But even so, English speakers sometimes struggle to read and pronounce words from Indigenous languages. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I think there are at least two big reasons for this. And luckily for all of us, they can both be improved upon through practice. So the first of these two reasons is I think people simply aren't aware of exactly what sounds the letters stand for in Australian languages. One interesting thing that a lot of people don't ever really think about if they're not linguists is the fact that the relationship between sounds and letters in nearly every writing system is completely arbitrary. So take, for instance, the letter that we call J in English. We say that it makes the J sound, like in jump. But when you think about it, you realize that it doesn't make the J sound. It doesn't make any sound at all. We only say that it has that sound. It's nothing but a mark on a page. And it's just we, as people who write in English, have agreed that it should make that J sound. But in fact, we could have assigned any other sound to it. And other languages, in fact, do assign other sounds to this exact same mark on a page in order to fit with their own sound systems. So if you know Spanish, for instance, you'll know that this exact same letter makes the h sound, like in jamón, which is a Spanish word for ham. It starts with a J, but it makes a different sound. So this just means that when reading words from a different language, such as Spanish or, for instance, any Australian Indigenous language, you just can't always assume that the letters are going to make the exact same sounds as they do in English. You might instead have to learn different sounds for these same letters. So I think that's the first big reason why some English speakers struggle to read words in Australian languages, simply because they don't know the sound-letter correspondences. And then I think the second of the big reasons simply has to do with being intimidated by word lengths. So you've probably noticed that words in Australian languages can be much longer than words of English tend to be. And this is simply due to particular facts about the structures of these languages. So in English, when we want to add a new concept into our sentence, we often add a new word in to encode that concept. But in Australian languages, by contrast, some of these concepts can be encoded by adding bits on to a word that's already in your sentence. So the words can get a bit longer than they do in English. And so I think feeling overwhelmed by word length is another reason why some English speakers struggle to read these words. But luckily for all of us, both of these problems are fairly easy to improve upon with a little bit of practice.
Yeah. So are there any other tips on how we can all read and pronounce these words better?
Yeah, gosh, I could give tons of tips. I guess the first tip is that a little bit of practice really will go a long way. And one of my biggest tips is that the first syllable is almost always the most stressed syllable. So simply by making this one change, you can really improve your pronunciation. So take for just one example, the Noongar name for Fremantle. So it's Wallyalup, and the first syllable is the one that gets the stress. So by stress, I mean it's the one that's pronounced the loudest and the most emphatically. So it's not something like, say, Wallyalup, rather it's Wallyalup. Or, for example, the Center for Indigenous Education at Edith Cowan University, if anyone's familiar with that center, it's named with two Noongar words. That's Grongrol Gadigin. So Grongrol with the emphasis on the first syllable, and Gadigin, again, with the emphasis on the first syllable. So that second word, it's not, for instance, something like Katijin. It's Gadigin with the first syllable getting the stress. So that's one really easy tip for improving your pronunciation. Another tip would have to do with becoming more familiar with pronouncing words that are a bit longer than they are in English. And I think that's a really easy one to overcome as well, if you just slow down and sound it out one beat at a time and remember to put that stress on the first syllable. So for instance, anyone who's driven south on the Kwinana Freeway near Mandurah might know the Manjugordup Drive road sign. And a lot of people think it looks really intimidating, but actually if you just slow down and say one syllable at a time, then it's entirely possible to say. And then a few other really easy tips have to do with that problem that I mentioned before of knowing what sounds the different letters stand for. So this is just a matter of learning correspondences. And if a person was really interested, there are plenty of books out there that can help. So any dictionary of an Indigenous language will have a sound chart at the front of it. So that'll help a lot. But a few immediately useful pointers include, one is the fact that Australian languages don't usually have a distinction between the sounds b and p. So the sounds that we spell in English as b and p, there's usually no distinction between those sounds in Australian languages. Same with d and t. So what we use d and t for in English, no distinction between those two. And also g and k. So the letters g and k, no distinction between those two as well. So that means when you see a word from an Australian language written, for example, with a P, you might sometimes think that it sounds a bit more like a B or vice versa. And that's simply because these languages don't distinguish between these two sounds. So it's kind of the sound would be sometimes one, sometimes the other, sometimes halfway between the two. And that's the same with D and T. So you might sometimes see one, but you feel like it sounds like the other, and also G and K. And you might, in fact, even sometimes see the same word written in two different ways, where those three pairs of letters, one is switched for the other. So, for example, the Noongar clan from part of the south coast, the Bibbulmun group, after whom the walking track clearly is named, it's sometimes spelled starting with a B, sometimes spelled starting with a P. And that's simply because the language would not traditionally have distinguished between those two sounds. So if you see that, you'll know why.
Yeah, I mean, Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I feel like we've mentioned this a few times on Language Lab, how English itself is such a mishmash of so many different languages, and there are so many different rules to it. So in this, it's just, you know, it's just taking the time to like learn a few new rules in how to pronounce things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think once you know the spelling rules for these languages, they actually operate with a lot fewer exceptions than English does. So it's fairly straightforward to learn.
Yeah, definitely. Now, one final question, Amanda. I was wondering, I mean, Indigenous Australian languages are, you know, oral languages. And of course, as we were mentioning, it's only after colonisation that they began to be Romanised into the Latin alphabet that we know today. Do you think any meaning is lost when we Romanise languages?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. So I think there are many things in Australian languages that are not written down. So even though all of these languages can be written, there is not always a large body of written literature in them. So a lot of stories still remain solely the property of oral language. They're only things that are said. I think there is a bit of a risk in believing that if you write something down, then it is sort of safe and it will be saved forever. Because I think keeping language and stories going in oral practice is actually also really important as well. So, sometimes people say, well, as long as we have a dictionary, we'll know that the language is safe or something like that. And I think that is not actually true. I think all languages are inherently oral languages. Writing is always kind of a secondary system. So making sure that that oral practice is still robust is actually a really important part of maintaining a language.
Yeah, definitely. Such an interesting topic. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Amanda.
Thanks for having me.
That was Amanda Hamilton-Holloway, a lecturer in linguistics at the University of Western Australia, a member of UWA's Language Lab and a researcher at the University of Queensland, having a bit of a chat with us about Indigenous Australian language